Started this morning. I'm Gilene. This is Pastor Mike, and we have a special day today. We have water baptisms this morning, and we're so excited. If I'm blubbering like a baby, just don't mind me, because I love water baptisms so much. It is such a confirmation on what God wants to see as a fulfillment in our lives as we walk our Christian walk, and this is their demonstration outwardly to say, Jesus is my all in all. So we're gonna start with worship. We're gonna sing a few songs, and then intermittent with worship, we're gonna have water baptism. So if you guys will just enter in with all your hearts to what the Lord has this morning, I know that the baptism candidates, their hearts are probably just fluttering like crazy. Maybe not the boys, but the girls. But I'm just gonna say that. We're your family. We love you. We're so proud of you guys. We're proud of the statement that you're making, and we're so excited for you and for this step that you're making today.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, we know that we're gathering physically, Lord, and that is good. But Lord, most of all, Lord, I pray that we would gather in our hearts, Lord, before your throne. I pray that there would be a supernatural gathering, Lord, that would take place, Lord, where we would all come to the full realization, Lord, that we're in your presence, that where two or more are gathered, Lord, you are there in their midst, Lord, that we have all brought you with us because you live in us, Lord, and we live and move and have our being in you. So, Lord, help us to set our mind on things above, Lord. Help us to lead the distractions of this life, Lord, the COVID, the elections, Lord, everything that seems to be captivating us, Lord, let us be captivated by you this morning. Let us see you, Lord, through all of the craziness and chaos out there. Let us see you, Lord, your love and your power towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in the room. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
To the ones we love. People get sick, finances, marriages, family troubles. One thing never changes, and that is the fact that He is good.
You are good. just want you. And I'm sorry when I'm just going through the motions. Oh, I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Started. I opened up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this room.
Good morning. We have four candidates today that are going to be baptized. Praise the Lord. And they're all either in their teens or young adults, which is awesome. That's the future of the kingdom. Now that I've pushed over 60, that's like, I know I don't look it, but especially with the mask, right? But we have people who are ready to dedicate and surrender their lives wholly to God. And Andrew's going to be the first one. Which is actually a lot. I will say this. His family has been coming here for a lot of years, and they have been servants of the Lord, and they've been just, examples to people all around the valley. And so they've been purveyors of his love and of his truth. Marching in God and the kingdom together, right? How about that for putting words in his mouth? Pretty good? Am I on Moses or am I way off? But I do want to say this, because a lot of us are seem like we're spectators right now and we're going to, experience someone else being baptized. But a lot of times at weddings we remind couples to remember their vows, to remember their commitment, to remember their devotion to one another. And so I'm going to challenge you today that as I baptize each one, that you take a moment and remember the moment that you were baptized for the Lord. Remember what that meant in your life. Remember how transformative it was, that you went from an old creation to a new creation, and that life is still flowing in you just as it was that day, even though it seems maybe dormant. So I want to encourage all of us to recommit ourselves as each one's being baptized, and also to see if God might do something new in this 2021 for our life as these candidates are being raised into newness of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hang on, I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now, we just pray for Andrew, Lord, the calling of this young man would be sure. The hope of his calling in you, Lord, that the eyes dedicate him, Lord, to your man. Grace of the Lord, he is my godson. Guys, you guys got to take after your dad. He's always got something to say. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Stretch out your hand and let's pray for him. Father, right now, we just lift Adam before your throne of grace. Those who have known him before, Lord, his name. Amen.
Sorry if my voice is a little shaky, but I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for this opportunity to be able to show my devotion publicly to God and how much I love Him. And I think that it's also really cool that it's the third day of the month, and on the third day Jesus rose as well. So it's like we're rising with Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Nani's life, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that she is love of God and a fresh new man. Bless you, hon. And you might recognize her. She helps live. I can say this from shut in and kept away from the world, it seems like...
Hi. I think for a long time growing up in the church, I did have somewhat of a relationship with God. But with this quarantine and stuff made me realize that sometimes I forget that he's always there. And I just want to be able to remind myself all the time that he is and that I shouldn't doubt him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, right now we just lift Elena for a worship and a song, already prepared worship songs. But Lord, I pray that the song that you want her to sing, Lord, that will be, Lord, from you for her or from you, Lord, for others, Lord, that it would stir up in her now, Lord, that you would allow her to be, Lord, as David was, one that sings before your throne, sings before your presence, and knows, Lord, who you are in the depths of her being. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would continue to let your presence be known to her 24/7. Lord, that when people see her, they say that there's something with her. Is there someone that's accompanying her? Lord, that there would be a testimony, Lord, that she's not there by herself, Lord, that angels would be involved, Lord, in her life. Lord, that there would just be the full ministry of God to her in such a way, Lord, that she could be the one that shares also, as others that I've prayed, the light of God, the brightness of God, the glory of God. And Lord, let her be, Lord, who you have called her to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well done. Good job. Praise the Lord.
Come on, can we just give a real quick shout to Jesus? Yes, just a praise shout. It's okay to get a little bit loud in church, guys. This isn't a funeral. This is a celebration of life. Come on, we're going to sing one more song. And if you can, if you know it, sing it like you know it. If you don't know it, just pretend it's okay.
Will arise. Dead.
God is just so good. Come on. Yeah. That life doesn't have to be perfect to raise a hallelujah. Come on, that we just have to look to Him. That we just have to put our forehead to His forehead. Yeah. Let's just sing this chorus one more time. I'm going to sing.
And I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm.
Lord, we raise a hallelujah. Lord, even if it's not with our voice at times, Lord, in our hearts, let us raise a hallelujah to you. Lord, let us raise an anthem to you, Lord, of who you are, what you've done, Lord, in our lives. Lord, all that we have experienced in the past and all we will experience in you in the future, your overcoming power, Lord, to anything that the enemy tries to work in our lives, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that there's no fear, Lord, in you, Lord. We can receive your love, Lord. We can receive all that you have for us, God. Lord, we just devote ourselves afresh and anew to you today. Those, Lord, that were baptized and those of us who are remembering, Lord, our baptism. Lord, let us be, Lord, those lights shining in this dark day. Let us be the bright answer, Lord, for those who have questions. Let us be, Lord, your ministers of truth in this day. And we just ask that this rest of this service, Lord, would be according to your will. We ask you to bless all the communication that goes forth. And, Lord, that it would be edifying, Lord, to those who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. How awesome was that, huh? Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, so we need to get a little situated here. Are you coming up, babe? Okay. So we've had this this day planned for a little bit. And last week, Moses came up to me and said, "Hey, Andrew wants to get baptized." And I said, "Okay, like when?" Well, he's leaving real soon. So it's like, tomorrow. Okay, he's leaving tomorrow. So we had to do it today. But we've had this that we wanted to communicate to the family, the body. So those of you who are guests, just just know that we're going to try to make this as redeemable as possible. But this is kind of family life for us today. You guys get your seats. Yeah, and the mic's right there. So I'll start here. I just looked up on my phone because it's been about, I think, almost, see, October, December. I'm a little over 2 months now, right, since we communicated in October. Yeah, in the end of October, right after we had our first live service, which isn't this great to, what?
You should introduce them.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is Eric and Nancy. And yeah, praise the Lord, amen. Says mom, right? Can do no wrong, right? but he called me, and I probably need to back up a little bit because I'm getting too far ahead. But why they're sitting here today is because he asked me something. And so let's go ahead and back up to what was the year that you guys. 2012, that's what I thought it was. So in 2012, these two radicals, because they were radicals, they were both, are, yeah, yeah. But back then, I mean, you were even like more radicals because, I mean, according to all of us, that kind of stuff wasn't really happening that much anymore, where they left everything to follow after the dream that the Lord had put in their hearts. Eric and Nancy were our junior high pastors, and they loved the junior high. There's one back there who loves them. Yeah, probably others. And they're committed to whatever they do. And so in 2012, we had just basically just really started off as a church. And I mean, I think, you know, we were thinking, wow, nothing's going to stop us now. You know,
when we got set forth as pastors.
Yeah, when we got set forth as pastors in 2010, yeah. But I mean, it's around 2012, things were starting to click a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were starting to really seem to be happening. And Eric and Nancy came to Gay and myself. And they said, Pastor, you can say what you told us.
Yeah, well, essentially, Mom.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you turn it on the bottom?
I did turn it on.
There it is. So, yeah, so we went down to Reading but to go to BSSM, the ministry school down there. But, well, I'm getting there, my love. And so we felt on our heart, like Mike said, we were running with the church, and we loved what we were doing. We loved being here. We loved our community. We loved the kids, most of them. And then all of a sudden, the Lord put something in my heart, like, you guys, you should go to ministry school and Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry down in Reading. I had a couple friends there, so I knew about it. And I brought it up to Nance. And Nance, I was, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to go to school and you're going to come support me. And Nance said, well, what if we both go? And I'm like, okay, sure. So then we started praying about it, and we brought that to Mike and Gay just to get their blessing, but really just to seek guidance because, you know, we were not in a stage of life where it made sense to leave everything and just go. We had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, well, 2 and a 4. Yeah, sorry, a 2 and a 4-year-old. And it just didn't make any sense, you know, and we had no money. And so
when they came to us, we said, no, we put handcuffs on them. We locked them in the pastor's office. Not, no kidding. I'm joking.
No, actually, we were inspired. Yeah. We both said, that's awesome. And if God is leading you here, because I went through something similar. I had a really good job. I was making a lot of money. And I, one morning, came to Gay and said, do you want to live in a basement? So, I mean, I know that call when you get it, you know. So I could see it in them. And I said, wow, okay, well, I'm sure if the Lord's leading you in this, he's going to work out all the other details. And he really did. But they stepped out. And, I mean, the first day they got there, I mean, they loaded up a U-Haul. And they had no place to stay. I mean, they had nothing. They pulled into the Bethel parking lot on a Sunday. And I remember Eric calling me, and I think it all hit him all at once. It's like, Okay, now what? It's like...
I think he was in tears.
Yeah.
You know, you tell this story, and sometimes I think people are like, that's faith. And I think a group of people hear it, and they're like, you guys are dumb. And I agree with both of those. But yes, because you hear people tell testimony, and you don't always get to hear like that side of it. Like, yes, it was God that led us, but there was still real like stuff we went through. Like, we slept in that parking lot that night with our 2- and 4-year-old in a U-Haul and a minivan. And that's what we did because we're like, God, we're here. I don't know what you're going to do, but we're here. And we're 500? I don't remember the amount.
A long way.
It's a lot of miles away in another state.
The whole other side of the earth for
years. Yes. So it was insane.
So you guys ended up being there. They thought they were going for a year, which, you know, they said, Pastor, we're going for a year and we'll come back. And it's like, you know, great things will happen after that. You know, it's like, amen. You know, we disagreed with it because it was what was burning in them. And so you ended up staying there how many years?
We were there 4 years.
4 years. Okay. 4 years. 1 year lasted a long time. During that time, I mean, they learned to live by faith because they basically, for a long time, weren't working. They were going to school. And so God had to meet their, because the next day, the Lord opened up a place for them. The guy had great favor on them, and it was what they needed at the time. He met your needs according to his riches and glory. It wasn't a mansion, you know, and the cupboards were a little bare. I mean, there was lots of, I mean, you guys probably lived on macaroni and cheese and ketchup. You know, that's usually, right? Am I, you know, top ramen?
So we only had a Jack in the Box gift card left that had one of the people here at church had given us, and we literally ate Jack in the Box, like those little dollar like mini pancakes and chicken nuggets for a week between five of us.
And I mean, we prayed, we sent you off.
You did.
But I mean, your guys' need was much greater than, you know, what a love offering was. And
right.
I know the Lord met you at every step along the way.
Yeah, it was really crazy because like all of our money was tied up. It was supposed to go to this place just so we could have shelter for our kids, and so that gift card took us a long way, actually a lot further than we thought. And then small amounts of money would come in by, you know, gifts and people, I don't know, just random things. But I remember the day when I cried because we had left. And we knew we had just given our kids the last thing in the cabinet for breakfast. We were kind of hungry. We were walking to school. We didn't have gas to run the car. So it was just really, you know, Lord, what are you going to do? Because we have nothing. And when we got home that night, there was a big old box sent from an old friend of mine. His wife felt strongly to follow our journey of faith. And she had felt this like need to send us this box full of like all the staples you can think of, pasta, sauces, all the way from Arizona. And we don't talk to these people. Like it's been a long time since we had connected with them, but she saw our story and was like, God told her, you need to put this together. And she had gifts for my kids and clothes. And so it was really kind of like, so we got to come home to that. So when we say we were in the trenches, but we also, my kids, they prayed with us. They cried with us. They were in the valley, but they also got to celebrate on the high mountains when God would come through every time.
Yeah. So they are, they're, you know, what Gay and I are, I don't know if we're unique, but we've told many people that when you come here and you knit your heart with us, that if you leave, if you ever need us, we'll still be your pastors. Because I'm not a pastor because you go to our church. I'm your pastor and a shepherd because that's who God put you in my life for. And so some have come back and some have stayed away, but some are living other places, and we still try to shepherd them when they need us. And so they're still our kids.
Yeah.
And so we've had an opportunity to speak, you know, especially to Eric. I've had an opportunity to speak, I think, at key times, you know, when he needed like some guidance. And all I did was just remind him whose he was. And I mean, I didn't have like just huge mounds of wisdom, but it seemed like what he heard, got an amen. That's all you really needed, you know, because you knew who God was, and you'd seen him bring you through the storms and the Red Sea pretty much, you know, you saw him drown the Egyptians, you know, you've seen the miracles. You just had to be reminded that he was going to do it again. And so they finished Bethel, and you guys were there after that. How long? About a year after that?
No, we were because we staggered our years. So we did first year together, and then I did second year. Right. Oh, gotcha. So we were there up through Nancy going to school, and then we moved right after school.
Okay.
No, that was another move of the Lord, because Eric and Skylie were definitely like 9 months counting down the days, and it was getting down to that last couple days, and I just kept feeling in my spirit like, how am I going to tell them? The Lord is saying we have another more. And so I was just kind of, well, what do you think about just reapplying? And he's like, no, like, you know, we've done our thing. We're going home. We said 9 months. And so it was just kind of an interesting thing, but I, you know, kept pressing. So we said, let's just see what happens. You know, we can still go home. And then if we get accepted, we'll come back or whatever, do the thing. But, and then we both got accepted. So then we had to figure that out. But then it was like the Lord had asked me, he's like, hey, actually, you did your job. I need you to step back this year. This is Eric's year. And so I went and worked for a group home while he did his second year. And it was really amazing.
So you guys kind of took turns going
after that. We staggered them. Yeah. And so then that's when we moved to Portland for 4 years.
And you guys, while you were there, you traveled, did ministry, you went on different trips because of part of
in school,
team.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. In school, we did a lot of ministry trips. Nancy got to go to South Africa. I ministered in Alabama at a drug rehabilitation center for young men. Went to Utah, went to California, like kind of went a little bit all over the states. But yeah, a lot of ministry trips, which was probably one of my favorite things about the schooling. So,
I remember you were saying that you felt that it was going to be time for you guys to be, you know, moving, and that, you felt the Lord was going to open up something, and he opened up something for you in Portland. So go ahead and share what that was.
Yeah. So I got a sense, even though like I didn't want to be there and then I did want to be there, I got a sense towards the end of our time there that we're there for school. Cause we have friends that still live there and they're not in school. They're just being a part of the church. And I didn't want to do that. I felt like God had brought us to Reading to get something, and he wanted us to leave and now utilize what we had gotten. So I knew as soon as Nancy was going to be done with school, we need to be figuring out what we're doing. We even at that time toyed around with the idea of coming back home. And yeah, so the Lord opened up a door in Portland at a church called Rock Creek. We came on as associate pastors, and Nancy helped run. She didn't help run. She did run the food pantry, which was a huge monster of a ministry they had there. And we did youth ministry there as well. And children's, I mean, kind of everything when we were there. It's a smaller church. And so we wore many hats. So yeah.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. So then it came to an end, partly due to, like, there were financial reasons, and then the Lord was doing something else in your heart. So go ahead and share. And either of you can share about that, or both of you can, because this is a pretty significant change.
Sure.
That really took place, because you had to do something that you really almost didn't want to do.
Right. I really didn't want to do. I really didn't want to come back to Yakima. I love Yakima. I really didn't want to come back here, though. But I'm glad I'm here. So just to clarify, I love Yakima. So 2018, at the end of 2018, the church ran into financial struggle, and me and another pastor were let go off payroll, which was really hard. Being in ministry, full-time ministry is my dream, what I want to do. And so it was, then I was forced to find other means to make money. But what Nancy and I felt was, this isn't our end of our time here. We are going to still serve here as much as we can. And until God says otherwise. And so 2019 was the year of like many jobs. I worked at Domino's as a driver. I did Lyft and Uber. I worked at Amazon, you know, and so I did a lot of stuff while still fulfilling our role at the church as much as we could as the youth pastors there. And I also felt in that year the Lord was kind of lifting some stuff up, because at that point before all this, I kind of felt like Portland was it. I felt like that was where we were going to land. We were going to just raise our kids there and just be weird Portland people, because keep Portland weird. That's what they say. So,
and it is weird.
And so we, you were there for a while. Towards the end of last year, the end of 2019, we really felt like the Lord was saying, you guys are done. You guys need to go. And we didn't know what that meant. We didn't know, okay, you want us to leave our church. You guys want us to leave the city. What do you want us to do? And,
Yeah, in the house you were living.
Right. And so he became more and more clear as the months progressed, because the job that I was working, it was a seasonal job. They just all of a sudden said, this job is ending. So I was like, okay, that's one thing. And then I get a text from our landlord saying, hey, the property that you're renting got sold and we need you out by May. And literally they're going to demolish the house. And so it was like the Lord was like, you need to get out of here.
Close
you need
the
to
door.
Go. Closing door. So I'm like, I still don't know where we're going. Yakima's not on my radar at all. Okay. I started applying at churches everywhere. I applied at a church in Australia. I was talking to a guy in Australia. And it's real. So everywhere. And then this opportunity to actually work at a church here in Yakima came up. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of honed in on Yakima. I'm like, okay, I can toy around with this idea.
And this looked like a shoe-in, pretty looked, much. I thought, this is it.
It's going to happen. I got it. You know, I was just like, yeah, we're going to Yakima. And I was like, great. I can humble myself and go to Yakima, sure. I can grace them with my presence, sure. Oh, yeah. And then I didn't get the job. And I was like, Lord, why you got to do me like that? And
not funny.
Yeah, but
you landed right at the beginning of COVID.
Yes, and then COVID happened. Oh man. So then my heart is still like, I think Yakima's still where we're supposed to go. I don't know why. I think Yakima's it. And, you know, I'm processing with Pastor Mike through the whole way, you know, and just trying to figure out, like, what are we doing? And I'm like, I feel like God's calling us to Yakima at least for a season of rest. Maybe we don't land there, but maybe just for a season of rest. So then we come and we're here for our resting period. And after 2 weeks, I'm like, all right, I'm rested. On to the next thing. And that was back in April.
So I just want to say and preface here at this point, when we said that people leave the church and they still are our kids, we're in constant contact with them over all of these years. Like, these kids call us Gigi and Papa. I mean, this is our family as much as any of you all are our family. And it's not every day, but it's continual. And then
haven't been apart.
And then was it 2018 that Tim came down? For a year, our son Tim went down and lived and roommated with them and was with them for a full year. So it's like we had continual contact, and Yakima wasn't on his radar. And it was not on his radar as much as a basement wasn't on my radar. Like, I'm just saying, God does have a huge sense of humor.
At the very least, he has a huge sense of humor. If nothing else, he does things in our lives to prepare us. Yes. And sometimes those are pressures that we don't like. So for almost, 5 months, you're just in limbo.
Yeah, we're in limbo, and plus no churches are meeting anyways. And so when we came here, we weren't going to go to any church anyways, even if COVID hadn't happened. We really felt like we just need to rest. We need to just, like, you know, we had done ministry school, and then we did ministry full time. We just need to come, and rest doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means you do stuff with purpose. But COVID kind of just helped that process, because there weren't any churches meeting. And so
knowing us, we wouldn't have stayed out of the church. We would have, you know,
found something
or plugged in somewhere. And we did anyway, I think, online with a lot of different churches, and just kind of got our palate wet for what the Lord was doing. And it came down to, cause Eric was really not doing super good personally. Through this, like, resting period, which was really funny, because we were here, it was like a watering hole, but it was also like I felt my spirit, the Lord was preparing us for a season. It was actually a season of preparation, but we didn't really know what that meant. So it was just kind of continuing to till the soil that was in front of us. And it's not easy when you're used to being an active participant, but you're being told to just be still and prepping that soil and continuing to lean into what he's saying and not having a full picture for the first time in a long time, I guess. And anyway, so then I had this question just popped up in my head one day that I need to ask Eric, like, what does it look like to serve or to do youth outside of the four walls? Because four walls weren't meeting right now. This wasn't going to be a thing. Like, what does that look like? How does that look for you?
Well, and I just want to say, too, though, John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and the best that he had to look at was locusts and honey. Like, it wasn't like he was on, you know, in a mansion and had a butler that was feeding him food. Like, every single one of us goes through that kind of a period in our Christian walk, if not more than once. And God uses that time. God uses that 5 months period or however long it takes. He uses that time to make sure that we are where we need to be so that he can move us where he wants us to be. Let me say that again. He wants us to be where we need to be, rest sometimes, so that he can move us where he wants us to be. And it's no different than Moses or John the Baptist or anybody else. Everybody has that period in their life.
Yeah, and actually, when wilderness experiences can be the most fruitful, even though it doesn't appear that way, right?
Amen. And the other thing about wilderness seasons, and if you watch Jesus when he went into the wilderness season, he was led by Holy Spirit. And when he came out, he came with Holy Spirit. And so in power, there's something that we skip over and we're like, oh, wilderness season, that just means I'm going to be weak. And, you know, it's like, no. You get to walk in your wilderness season with Holy Spirit. And that's something that I had to learn personally. And was I knew immediately as we got here, I was like, this is a wilderness season. And then I realized, like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm tuned into Holy Spirit very, very well. Otherwise, I'm going to make a decision out of my discomfort. And one thing that you'll find out if you get to know me at all, I do not like being uncomfortable. Like, I will do anything to not be uncomfortable. And so, small example, we did a hot sauce challenge the other weekend with my brother-in-law. And all I had to take was one hot sauce. And it's like, you guys can, I am, this is not worth it to me. I'll drink the milk and I'm done. So that's me. Like I needed to make sure that Holy Spirit was leading whatever we were going to do next. Cause otherwise I'm going to make a decision based out of my flesh, based out of my discomfort. Yeah. So, which brought us to where we currently are. Cause we started, once churches started to open, we started to visit other churches again. One Life was on my radar, but not so much, and not because I hated One Life or whatever. It was more like, these are my parents. When you move out, you don't want to come back home. And that's where my mind was, is like, you know, I need to find another home, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm at work, and we had visited a couple other churches, and you know, we're starting to like build connections with some other churches. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit drops while I'm driving my FedEx truck, and he's like, if you had sent somebody out, you'd blessed them out, you had sowed into their life financially, spiritually, et cetera, and then they came back, what would you think about when they moved back? And I was like, oh, I don't even know. I haven't even asked Pastor Mike. All the while, we've talked about other stuff, never talked about this. So I called him up and was like, hey, where's your mind at in regards to Nancy and I being home? And you know, the thing that like got my heart, like shifted my heart back home was when Pastor said, I was hoping, but I was never going to put that pressure on you. And the father's heart that Pastor Mike has, I was just like, that's it. Like, that's all I need. I don't care what we do. If we come to church and there's two people here and we just get to worship, like, If Nancy and I and my family can come under this house and serve these people, then we're winning at life. So,
praise the Lord. So they came to church on the Sunday just before we got COVID. Crazy. It's a crazy world we live in. But we went out for lunch, and we kind of just were still kind of just saying, okay, what is this and can it work? And because this is where I really, Tim, can you bring up the scripture, Ephesians? I know we're running a little over here, but this is pretty significant. So hopefully you guys can indulge us, PowerPoint. Sorry. There we go. Next slide, please. There we go. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I'm just going to read it all because we're a little limited on time. I can't read that. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, I underline that, for the work of ministry, for building of the body of Christ.
Next slide. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love. So this is what this is about. Over the past 10 years since we've been pastors, God has changed. Like I like to claim myself, I'm a recovering senior pastor, because I don't view the pastorship anything like what I was raised, even though for the time it's what it was, and I was blessed, and the Lord blessed other lives. I have an understanding that we need to see not everybody be a pastor, or everybody be a teacher, or everybody be an evangelist. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where all of us are that part that is working properly, and you know, not just someone that's, you know, just greeting someone at the door, even though some that can be valuable, but it's more like that we are literally beacons, like we were sharing, of light that go out, and that we're lighthouses, and that we're cities set on a hill, and that we are harvesters, and we are planters, and that we can fulfill the work of the ministry that God has called us to as a body. And so when Eric brought this up, it's like, because, you know, those of you who know us, we've kind of gone through, you know, like what would be considered a wilderness as a church. And some Sundays, I mean, it looked like a wilderness in here. It's like, hello, 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 echoing, you know, it's like, and but all during that time, God was doing something in us, and people would say, so have you been released? And, you know, and I said, no, I've been released, and we're here until the Lord tells us otherwise. And so I just sensed that He wasn't done, and that what He was doing in us and what He had done in me and in Gay was not just for, you know, some life lesson, that it was to impart into others the reality of who they are in Christ. And that love was going to be the key. That's why I love that very last of that. It's gone now. But that it's about being built up in love. That it's not about being built up in pride. It's not being built up in, you know, church size or anything. It's built up in love. And if that's anything that these two have shown through the years, is that they are love and love and are devoted to the Lord and to those who they serve under. And so when this came up, I mean, Gay and I were kind of like pinching ourselves, because it's like, what? I mean, you know, because... Is it, yeah.
Is it real?
But.
No, I mean, she, I love her. She pierces right to the bone and marrow and gets to the cutthroat question. She doesn't dilly dally around or solve. She's like, okay, we got to just know, what is this?
Yes, she did.
Which I love so much, because that's what we respect about you guys so much, is that it's not. I mean, you're always going to love us no matter what, but you just want to get to the bone and marrow of things. It's just, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? What does it look like?
So this is what's happening. After we met, we started communicating, you know, via Zoom and FaceTime, and they started coming to church. Eric, immediately the following Sunday, we had an opportunity for the first time to go see our granddaughter being baptized, because Eric said, yep, we'll take it. I said, okay. It was like liberty that we hadn't had for so long. And I just really feel, and Zeke, you play a part in this, and it's weird, because I remember now back in the summer, you need to share that, because that is huge.
So our heart is youth, like for people, but like we love hanging out with young people. No offense, people that aren't youth, but teenagers are just so much more fun.
You can get them to do more.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. So So we came back, and Nancy and I started talking about what it looks like to do youth again here in Yakima. And then we went to the men's group, with the one that was at your house, the barbecue. Yeah. And I'm sitting next to Zeke, and Zeke's talking. He's like, you know, and this time we hadn't even thought about going to One Life or anything. And Zeke's like, I'm really excited you guys are back. You know, I feel like you guys have something for the youth in Yakima. And you just began, you were prophesying into my life. And I was just like, oh, he has no idea. And I went home and told Nancy, I was like, Zeke confirmed like that we're right where we need to be. We're on the right track, the things that we're going to do. And so it really was an integral, piece to us being back home. So,
yeah. Okay.
I'm getting chills. So, you know, Pastor Mike, he's known me a long time. And I've known Eric for quite a while. You know, I think he was a kid when he first started coming here. But I think it's been 2 years. About 2 years, it was, I'm trying to remember because, you know, I get these, like revelations, I guess. I think that's what I can call them. Because I'm comfortable with that now. I can call them a revelation, but I've been... You've both been in my heart for 2 years. Wow. 2 years, and I'm not really big on like I'll share it with your mom. I might have shared it once, but I mostly share it with Tara.
Yeah, you
cause,
never shared it with me.
Yeah, right. Cause, and I don't for the reason is I get a lot of them, yeah. So I got to pick and choose which ones I would share. For the reason is I'm thinking in my heart. I'm like a normal human being that. You know, his faith is strong, but yet, you know, still question it, unfortunately. I still question it. So I get a lot of them.
We all do.
You know, I get a lot of them, so I pick and choose which ones I would share with anyone. And normally I would share with Tara because she's, you know, she's the partner in Christ. She's the one I work with most, you know, all the time. So, you know, a couple of years ago, it's not like I woke up, right, because I'm wide awake. And I think of you two, right? And, it no purpose, right? For no, not like not a purpose is why am I thinking it? Because I don't question God. It just comes to me, and then I'll okay, you know, it's in my heart. So time passes, I get another one and another, and I'm not asleep. I'm a constant driver, so I think of you guys, and I think of Skyly, young Skyly, the little one, right? And then I think I'm driving, you know, and I'm cruising. I mean, I'll drive to Gillette, Wyoming, sometimes. Takes me 15 hours to get there. So something God puts in my heart, and I see you both, you know, and I'm driving. Nothing to look at out there. I mean, it's 1,000 miles, right? It's nothing to look at. I'm thinking, why? Now, why now are they in my heart? And to this day, I still hadn't reached out to Pastor about it. And I think I shared with Tara when I got home, you know what I'm thinking? It's like I see them too, and God's put it in my heart that one day they're going to come back. And one day, they're going to do ministry here. And Tara's like, honey, there's no kids here. I know that. But what God has told me is if they come back, they'll bring the kids back. Because that's what they do. That's what they've learned. That's their studies, right? They bring that back, and they'll bring their parents with them. That's what's in my heart. And here recently, and this is, you know, time's just going. But like I said, I'm real picky. You know, and then this whole, you know, this is like, this has really helped me out. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, gosh, I'm starting to think now of all the times that God's put you in my heart. So you're right, that barbecue we had, and I wasn't going to say anything because I know that God will tell you. But God says, hey, Zeke, sit Eric down. And you know what? You and I have never been like the greatest of friends. I've known Eric, you know, I've known him. You know, this little kid, I look at you as some little kid, and I know you're not anymore, you know, and I know that you're not, you know, I mean, you're a grown man with kids, but since I'm much older than you, I look just some kid, right?
He was a kid.
Well, you know, well, this was years ago, so I still look at you that way, but it's because you have that the gift of youth, of being young, because you connect with the kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're sitting there at the barbecue, and I think I had just spoke to you a week before. I was like, you know what? I want to let you know this is how I'm feeling about your family that's coming back. This is how I feel. And she's like, Zeke, please share it with them. Okay, you know, and not just because she said it, I shared it with them. Because I'm sitting there, and you're not there, so I can't share it with you. So I'm sitting there, and God's like, Zeke, he said, this is what he said. He goes, I'll talk to him later, but I want you to confirm with him as a physical being. Confirm with him that this is his home and there's a place for him here. And I'm fixing this place up. And this is the way I talk. So I'm getting something together for him, but confirm with him that this is his home and this is a place for you. So when you said it, okay, I said, okay, Eric, this is how I feel, man. I really truly think that our church needs something, and that you and your wife are the ones that are going to fill that void in this church, okay? And then, you know, we hung out, we talked for a little while, and then after you left, I get this, you know, this voice, you know, he says, don't worry. He might have not got it, but I'm going to talk to him later.
I had heard about it. And I thought maybe, well, Zeke is like, you know, he's...
Because I'm real picky, man. I'm picky at what I say.
When I heard what you said, I thought, well, you know, he's just inspiring him, you know, to be in the youth and stuff like that. But, I mean, bro, you, like, got this before anybody did.
Yeah, and like,
we were
2 years.
We were all in the dark.
2 years in the making, right? It's been 2 years. And he says, don't worry, you know, to me... You know, and like I said, I'm wide awake. I get these wide awake. I don't fall asleep and dream about it. I'm getting them wide awake. So he says, don't worry, Zeke. Even if he didn't get it, I'm going to talk to him later about it. That I'll put this in his heart. And then it made me believe, like, okay, whatever I missed, God will instill that in his heart later on. And then when you said what you said earlier about, you know, God says, yeah, I had a place in Yakima. Like, I should try Yakima, right? Or what you said, you were at work, and then you're like, maybe this could be a thing. I'm like, wow, that's like what he told me. Like, maybe Eric didn't get it. Don't worry, I'll talk to him later. And, you know, I mean, it's not like timing, because this has been 2 years for me. Yeah. And since the barbecue, it's been months. So it's like timing for him. Yeah. So now I'm going to talk to him, he says, right? But I wanted to share that with you. So I'm really picky about what I say.
That is huge,
but
bro.
You, both
Thank
of
you
have been in my heart for quite a while. I truly believe that God has something for you here. And I know I talked to Tara about it, and... You know, Tara's always quick to like, well, what about this? You know, she's like, she questions it. Oh, but I do too. She questions like, you know, we don't have no kids. I'm like, that's not even an issue, because he's brought us the two. God has brought us the two back that started here, right? He brought us the two back that's going to bring those kids here. You know, that's just the way it works, right? I mean, I've been to a lot of churches growing up where there was like one youth, right? I mean, this is like when we were kids, there was like one youth. And then and then our family shows up, and you know, Villalobos. And now, guess what? They're six, so now there's seven, you know. And then one youth pastor that I remember is in the early 80s. He might have been like 16, 17, 16. He was just a young kid. And I mean, we showed up, and there was six. I go back to that church, and there's hundreds. And that same youth pastor, but now he's a grown man, but he has brought hundreds of kids to the Lord. So I have the feeling that God has the plan, and all we are the vessels, and we have to, you know, listen to him, and then we just have to, I always tell him at work, I tell him at work, it's like, hey, you're the boss, you tell me what to do, I execute the plan. That's who we are, right? So we're the vessels, we execute the plan. If God says, now it's time for you and Nancy to be here for a while, and it could be 1 year, right? But it could end up being 10 years. No, what I'm saying is that you thought you were going to be gone for a year. But this could be 10 years, right? Because he has no time. You know, the timing is different for him than it is for us. So you could be here a handful of years. But I think I just wanted to share that with you. Because like I said, I'm really picky
so
about what
good.
I share. But I want to let you know that you've both been in my life.
That is so
and
good.
I pray for both of you guys and your kids. And I know that our family loves your family.
Thank
so
you.
We're so
happy. We love you guys too. Wow.
That's powerful.
That's so
I mean,
good.
It just, again, it just tells you that there is, there's harvest coming, you know, and because it's just being demonstrated right here, right now. And we met last night for prayer here. And one of the key things that the Lord was telling us was birth and harvest. And then also that we were to be seed planters. And I think for a while we've been more like in like incubation ourselves. And, you know, maybe some people would say, well, you're not doing anything. But it's God who's at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's his timing. He put that on your heart 2 years ago. But he knew about today. He knew that you know, that four people would be baptized on this day for youth and young adults. I mean, how fitting for this day. I mean, it's like, wow, on the third day of January, right. Resurrection. I mean, it's pretty powerful what God's doing. Yes, Nani.
And so, like, in harvest seasons, when you live in an agricultural area, you realize, like, there are some times when a plant, or you had a great harvest, but then there's soil that's kind of running dry, so you have to cut it down and let it just rest for a period. And I feel like you guys as a church have been not doing anything, but tilling that soil and causing it to refertilize and get its nutrients back. And this is the year of planting seeds. And like you for 2 years have been putting those seeds in the ground, but when you work with like crops, it's not like a garden that shoots up every year. It takes fermentation and takes a long time before you ever see the first lick of fruit. But you being faithful and listening to the Father as he was prompting you and praying into this and being obedient and speaking when he tells you is what's allowed for the fruit to come and the trees to grow. And so it's amazing to watch this process and how much further it's going to go because of that. Yes, Mom?
Sorry we're taking a little longer, but again, this is
confirmation.
Confirmation, and it's it's like a cementing time for our body right now.
So for those of you who are new, please be patient. You will see what's going to result in the end. So I had been telling Gay all this time that God is concentrating us. You know how like you get orange juice concentrate? You know, and I had told her before, I remember telling her a couple of times to encourage you, you know, that he's concentrating us, that God is working with the core that is here and concentrating us for something bigger and better. We just don't see it yet. And I feel it in my own life, and I see it in theirs, and I've seen it in theirs. And I'm going to tell you, Zeke, something. The reason why I believe that God speaks to you so closely and clearly is that you allow a ministry in your home. You allow your wife's ministry in your home. Even though it's not comfortable for you sometimes because you just want to go sleep and you got a house full of women two or three nights. Because she does the scrapbooking class. If anybody wants a good hobby and something fun and wants to be around other women and wants to be encouraged and loved right where you're at or spontaneous prayer when you need it, come to Tara's. Because we do, and she allows that, and Zeke allows that, and that you allow that in your home, and that's why you're able to see this flourishing in your home and being able to speak into my kids' life. And when I told him to speak with you, it was because I knew that even if I said it, you're mom. That's just what mom wants. I wanted you to see the heart of the parents of the kids who need pastors like you. I will tell you, and it's kind of a shame, but it also works for the good. Me and Tim did not support them going to Bethel. We were pissed.
To say it nicely.
But that's who I am. I'm being real. We were, and I asked her, so y'all are going to go and leave the kids with us, right? And she was hurt. I mean, we were so mad. We did not support that because we thought they were crazy. And we just were parents and we just want to protect them. And they didn't want to be there. But we watched them grow and what God has for them and be faithful in the hard times and in the good times. So they have a strength that they're going to be able to teach the children and the youth and the young adults and the young marrieds
and
the adults too, whatever their scheme is. And I'm not just saying it because I'm mom. I'm saying it because I've seen it. I've watched it. And it's been a blessing for me and my husband to watch them and to be a part of it, to serve into it and to be served back. And so, you know, thank you guys for being patient and listening to this because there's good things coming. And for those of you who are new and don't understand all this, just rest and wait and let the Lord show you what it is because he has it for you. He's percolating each and every one of us.
Amen. That's right. That's good. So someone say, okay, so what's going on here? So we're still trying to learn what God's doing here. Obviously, he's got a plan and he's been working the plan, but what I do know is that my desire, and my heart's been for a long time, is to have partners Not where I usurp over someone, but where I link arms. I've said that many times on Sundays with all of you. I said, I want to link arms with you. And you know, the Lord has brought somebody that said, yeah, Pastor, we don't only want to link arms with you. We want to serve you. And not that I'm asking for that. But they both have mentioned to us, like, whatever they need to do. And it's again, to me, it's like there's fruit that we're receiving. And can't get into all of it, but just to say this is that the Lord is honoring something from a long time ago. And he is faithful to be one that when we are obedient and when we do something motivated by love, he's the one that brings the fruit.
He's honoring the prayer of three.
Amen. The prayer of three as well. That's how Eric got saved.
Yeah, Tim's, and I wasn't
three.
A kid. I was
when
a
he was
man.
A little kid.
I was 18 years old.
I'm sorry. That's
no,
so funny
it's though. Fine. That's our heart. Our heart is to serve. Our heart is to pour into our city. Like, that's the word that the Lord gave us, is that we have something to pour into Yakima and One Life. And, you know, not that we have all the answers, because we don't, but we did receive some stuff over the last almost decade. And I feel like that, you know, I'm just excited to come alongside and serve, you know. And youth, like, that is the thing that's on our heart, you know, and we're still developing and praying what that's going to look like over the next, you know, or in the future, you know, but very, very soon we're launching into something in that regard.
And another key is that they went to a place that was revolutionary. I mean, Bethel is revolutionary in the church world. Not everybody agrees with everything Bethel does, and you know, we all get,
we don't agree with everything Bethel does,
right. But what I'm saying is they went to a revolutionary place, and they could have easily been not linked with us when they came back. But you know what God did during the last 10 years? He did in me here what he did in them there, and he did in us here what he did in them there. And he made sure that when we came back together, that we could walk in agreement. That's powerful. That's powerful, because we didn't plan it that way, but he did.
Now, if I knew that I was just going to receive what I got there, I wouldn't have left. I just would have said, thanks for that.
You've said that already. Yeah,
I know. I said that.
No, you needed to leave, yes, because he needed to do something in you that now is going to be poured out into others.
Well, yeah, so I think we just needed to see what that more of the Lord is. Yeah. And we also needed to just be stripped down to learn how to be fully dependent on who he is and who he says he is, and finding out for ourselves, like, what do we believe and why do we believe that? Like,
right.
You know, and it was it's an amazing journey, and we're still on it. It's not done just because we're not at Bethel anymore. It's like, this is something that we're constantly unveiling and going through, and it's really fun.
Well, now we're going to do something, though. We're going to have you guys stand here, and we are going to dedicate you to the call and the purpose that God has for you here, if you guys are okay with that. And what? Yep, and that's what she's like, we're on just the same page here. Whoever feels comfortable, feels like they want to be a part of saying, Lord, we want you to use this couple for your glory. We want to open our hearts to receive whatever truths you want to allow to pour into us through them. Obviously, all of us have to understand that God uses us not because we're perfect. He uses us because he sees that we're willing. And that's what you have here, is willing vessels. We're all growing. We're all learning. We're all experiencing, you know, new, I guess you could say, venues of life, and so much more this last year. But just know that this is a couple that's saying, Lord, whatsoever you will, whatsoever you say, be it done to us. I really believe that in knowing them. So does anybody want to come up and agree with us in prayer? You can just extend your hand. Do you want to get on the other side, babe? Oh, yeah. Masks, I guess. Sorry. So I'm so COVID ignorant here. Well, Father, we just...
Sorry, we're not offended by non-believers.
Okay. Right, I understand. No, I when you put them on, I did the same thing. So, Father, right now, we just commit this couple. We dedicate this couple into your hands. Lord, as we did back in 2012 when they were sent out, Lord, to go on their journey. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that that love has no boundaries. And that there's no distance in love. And there's no distance in the Spirit. So, Lord, even though they were gone and away, Lord, you kept our hearts connected. And we just thank you, Lord, that they are ones that love you first of all. They're devoted to you. They want you to be glorified in their lives. They want you to be preeminent, Lord. And they want that love that they have for you also to be a love that they share with others. So, Father, we just ask right now, whatever plans you have for them, and we know you have plans for them because we heard about it, Lord, that you would fulfill those in the coming days. And that anything that we can do, Lord, as people of faith, Lord, to encourage them, to bless them, to exhort them, even Lord, to challenge them, whatever it may be, Lord, to help them become who you've called them to be, Lord, we just ask that you would allow us to be tools in your hands. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that they're going to be fruit producers. Lord, we've heard that. They're going to be harvesters. They're going to be seed planters. They're going to be ones, Lord, that in the coming days, Lord, you're going to allow them to speak to the very depths of people's beings, Lord, so that they can become who you've designed and desired them to be. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We don't know everything what you're doing right now. It's still kind of a mystery, but we're solid in the fact that you're working in us, Lord, that you're the one building the house and that we are not going to labor in vain. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sorry, Aaron. So, that is what we have for you today. I know it's a lot to try to unpack, but this is what Nancy wants to say. If you guys have any questions, and right now, do you any questions? Or I guess, is there anyone who has any questions? Anyone that has anything, like another confirmation? Anyone that is confused? It's like, no, is there anything else? So what I would like for us is that we just are open and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants, and that we are open to have him challenge any of our preconceived ideas. I've had to do that a lot over the last few years. But just know that this isn't just about the four of us up here. Please do not even begin to think that, because what God is doing is deep in every single one of us. And if anything, what happened today is that the Lord was just empowering us to have something solidified in us that he's been doing, like Nancy was sharing over the past years, incubating, you know. But, oh, just, do you have something, Tanya? Oh, Tanya has something. I could tell. Are you nervous? Okay, go ahead. Just this. Oh, use that one. That was fine, sure.
On the bottom.
The bottom.
Hello, hello. Okay, there we go. I just want to say that I love this couple, and I'm so thankful that they came back and that they're showing us their crazy faith, like that they are just willing to do whatever God says. And I'm thankful for the example that they're showing us, because that's what I want. Like, I want to talk to them, like, what's your walk like? What's your, you know, how are you getting that crazy faith to just say yes to and hear God and do whatever he's asking? And I just want to say that that's my heart too. Like, I'm seeking after that. I want that for our family. And I'm just excited that you're back and we get to like do this together and walk this out together. So
praise the Lord. Thank you. That's good.
And so what I want to say too is how does this apply to all of us? Well, we're going to obviously get the benefits of their ministry in some way, because that's how good God is. But as God has spoken in their lives over the last decade, and he has shown himself faithful, even though at the time it was hard to see, his faithfulness, they can turn around with hindsight and see what God has done and how he's walked them through. He will also extend that to each one of us. He is not a respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he wants to do for another. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, God has not spoken into my life like that. Well, I'm in a wilderness. What about me? I'm telling you, as this testimony, by the blood of the Lamb applied to your life and the word of their testimony, others will receive and you will receive and you will be blessed. This is as much about you as it is about them. This is as much about your walk as it is about their walk. So be encouraged in the Lord this morning. Be encouraged because he has a work for you. He has something for you too. So just say, okay, Lord, what does that look like? And you know what, guys? I know he doesn't need permission because he's a holy God and he made you and he can do anything he wants. Squish you like a bug if he needs to, and he won't. But I'm just saying, he just wants to hear from your very heart. God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do in my life. I'm willing to do whatever it be. And so he sometimes just needs to hear you. He needs to hear your voice. He needs to hear that you're okay, that he's okay with moving in your life.
Amen. That's good. All right. Well, thank you, family, for being a family. And for those of you guests, thank you for allowing us to share. All of you are invited back. And I know some of you have other homes of faith, and that's fine. But just take with you that we have moved from, I think as you were saying, Bill Johnson was saying the other day, that from an incubation time to really a birthing time. And does that mean that the world's going to get all better? I don't know. You know, my Bible says that perilous times are ahead in the last days. But that doesn't mean that we are subject to perilous times, because our source is God. Our life is God. And he will be the one that fulfills what he wants to do in us. Amen. Either us as people, us as a body of believers, us as families. All right. We'll love you. God bless you. If you have any questions for us or for them, we'll try to answer the best we can. All we know right now is that we're going to partner in faith to see what God wants to do in these coming days.